We read in 1 John chapter 3, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called God's children." And that is what we are. We are God's children gathered together to worship God. Welcome to worship here this morning at First Presbyterian Church. And for all of you who got in here, 15 minutes early, had your clock set, everything, and those $100 bills that we handed out to each of you that came in, what you need to do, no, just kidding. It is good to see so many people making it through daylight savings time, getting in here. That is great. Please have grace on those who forgot about it, who might come wandering in. It's nice with technology that everything kind of changes over automatically to remind us, and we can figure out, oh yeah, I need to change these other clocks. It's been a busy weekend today, or this weekend. It was great yesterday to see so many people from our family of faith as well as around the community gathering together for Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack. It was a great joy to see everybody there, to see the excitement, the energy. Here's your final numbers. Drum roll, Dan's not on the drum, so I'll have to do that one. Yesterday, we were able to fill 648 boxes of meals, the little manna pack meals, with vitamins, minerals, vegetables, rice, all put together. Those 648 boxes will provide 139,968 meals. That will feed 383 children for an entire year. So, praise God. If you'd like to contribute to that financially, you can still do that. And looking forward to plans for next year. Dates I know are already set, planning those out. But if you want to be a part of it, touch base with Jennifer, and she'll get you connected in on that. That was a great day yesterday. And speaking of, children, feeding children, being children of God, that's all part of one of the many parts of our Lenten journey this year. You notice we've got a little building block up here. These little alphabet children's building blocks. There's an I on there. Maybe by the end of the service today, in the midst of my sermon, hint, hint, you'll figure out what the I stands for. And there'll be other building blocks that we're going to be building on. We're tying all of these different building blocks of our faith, getting back to what is most important in our Christian faith, and taking a look at these important things. And we're combining together some of the passages on Sunday morning with reading through and studying passages in the book of Acts. What was it like in the first days and years of the Christian church, when it was called the Way, following Jesus in the Way? What does it mean for us to regain afresh a perspective of how we are to be Christians and live out the way of Jesus Christ in today's world? So as we do that, many different opportunities. I'll be sharing in more detail during Growing Connections time today in the Fellowship Hall, what this is going to look like and how some of these pieces all fit together. A key part of it is going to be meeting midweek and taking a look at all these different texts and putting together our stories of where we're seeing these different practices and different aspects of Christian faith lived out. So you can gather here on Wednesdays. You can gather at the Just Love Cafe at Bob's on the Avenue, Bob's Pizza, on Wednesday nights. Be there at 6:30, sharing these stories, looking over things. We're going to be sending out a weekly overview every Thursday. You can pick it up, sneak peek, on Wednesdays if you come to one of those studies. So you'll have the first one today that will be available afterwards during the Growing Connections time. And to help tie all of these different things together, one of the things that we're going to be doing is different practices each week. Practices that are skills that we can go through and to learn how to live out our faith a little bit better. So to begin with, we're going to focus on the Lord's Prayer. And as we go through Lent, one of the things that we're changing, shifting up a little bit, to get us a little bit out of our comfort zone, to make things a little bit different, to get us to pay a little bit more attention, we're going to be using the ecumenical version of the Lord's Prayer. Not only is that going to trip us up a little bit, I know several who were here on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday service commented afterwards, I really got messed up as I went through the Lord's Prayer. Didn't realize how much it was just a part of the way that I say it, and to slow down, to think about saying different words makes a difference. But we're also going to be taking one line in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be changing that up. So rather than saying, "Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven," that "on earth," we're going to be changing. We'll start out with it that way, but then what about in Fond du Lac, in our congregation, in my life, at my workplace, in my relationship with whoever it may be? How do we live out God's kingdom specifically in these different areas? So that's going to be part of the practices that we go through here during Lent. And if it feels awkward and you really don't like it, rest assured as we get to Easter, we'll get back to what we're used to. One other announcement to share. We've been looking for someone to do some audio-visual editing to be able to produce our YouTube services and the online audio recordings that we have on our website. And we're looking for someone to do it. We figured out how we can do that for somebody remotely. So you don't have to be right here physically in the building. It takes about 3 to 6 hours typically, depending on the service and what needs to be done. But if you know of somebody who likes doing audio visual editing, touch base, let us know. Myself, personnel members, Mary Bacon, someone else on personnel, let us know. Might be a good thing if you know a college student that is looking for an extra $75 to $100 per service. We could get them connected up and be able to provide that service. That would help us out. So we gather for this first Sunday of Lent. Let us turn our eyes, our hearts, towards heaven and allow God's Spirit to connect with our spirit, that we might be transformed, changed, and that we might leave here knowing that we are getting a little bit more Christ-like in one way or another. As the light of Christ is brought in, may we welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted to save himself. We often look for the good things for ourselves first, before the well-being of others. Jesus was offered salvation if he turned stones to bread, if he accepted wealth and power, if he tested God's commitment to him. In all these things, Jesus remained strong in his commitment to God. May our commitment be as strong. May our lives be placed in God's caring hands throughout our journey. Amen. O Lord, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that, following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Lord Jesus, as you resisted the temptations in the wilderness, help us to place our trust in you, that we may be strong in our faith and confident in our identity as children of God, a royal priesthood, members of your household of ministry. Amen. We come before God not as despised sinners, but as beloved children. With the confidence of children of God, let us humbly confess our sins. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sins of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves, as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Let us take a few moments to offer our personal silent confessions. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our righteousness is found in Christ alone, a gift of God by faith. Beloved people of God, believe the good news. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Hear this promise from Colossians 1:20. Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile all things by making peace through the blood of the cross. The peace be with you and also with you. The psalm reading from Psalm 91, 1 through 2, 9 through 16, from the Common English Bible, page 548 in the Pew Bible. Please join me as we read responsively selected verses from Psalm 91. Living in the Most High's shelter, camping in the Almighty's shade, I say to the Lord, you are my refuge, my stronghold. You are my God, the one I trust. Because you've made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your place of residence, no evil will happen to you. No disease will come close to your tent. Because he will order his messengers to help you, to protect you wherever you go. They will carry you with their own hands so you don't bruise your foot on a stone. You'll march on top of lions and vipers. You'll trample young lions and serpents underfoot. God says, because you are devoted to me, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you because you know my name. Whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I'll be with you in troubling times. I'll save you and glorify you. I'll fill you full of old age. I'll show you my son. Now, if you can please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to... Did I do wrong? I did. I was starting all over again. I'm sorry. Sit down. I got up too early.
At least you are all, you know, diligently following along. It's not what I see, but okay. That is a good thing to have, that, you know, able to pay attention. Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, the fourth chapter, the first 13 verses. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus replied, it is written, people won't live only by bread. Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant, all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It has been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, since you are God's son, Throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Jesus answered, it's been said, don't test the Lord your God. After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Oh, I brought lots of Bibles up with me today. So, yeah, these are both Bibles. Yeah. This one you see inside your pews, if you look up in front. This is the one that's in your pew. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Yep. And this one, I'm going to open it up over here. And this one is the one that Pastor just read from this one. So the words that he read and the words that Miss Kay read were from this one. Hi. Got good helpers today. So I was reading, and I have used to read the blue one that we have here that's in the pews. I used to read that one all the time. And so when I first read this scripture, I thought, it sounds a little different to me. So I read back again on the old one, and I thought about it a little bit. Have you ever had some voices in your head that maybe said, I'm not sure you're going to be good enough to do that. I'm not sure. Yeah. Sometimes we don't think about it, but sometimes we have those things. Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, Jesus was tempted to think about those thoughts. And in the blue Bible that we have in the pews, it says, if you are the Son of God, it kind of reminds me of wondering, oh, if I'm good enough to do these things, right? Have you ever worried about that? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we have those thoughts inside our head. Then if you read in what Pastor just read, he said, since you are the Son of God. And it reminds me that we are children of God. Do you remember, if you looked at the baptismal font today, it's pretty, isn't it? It's right over there. It's very pretty. And when we are baptized, we are reminded that God loves us, God created us, and God is loving us all the time. And that baptism reminds us of that. And the font there, now that it's really decorated, kind of helps us to remember that again. So we are loved. We are loved by God. We are enough, and we are good. And that's, sometimes we need to have that as a good remembrance, right? So in this one, it says, since we are good. Since we are children of God. So what is it that we need to do since we are good? Since we are children of God. What are things that we do? Do you share God's love with other people? Do you take turns with your friends? Do you tell other people about God? We do all of those things because we are loved by God, right? Right. So when you have those thoughts inside your head that say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm loved enough. I don't know if I can do this. I want you to remember that you are a child of God, that God created you and God loves you. Yep. Even Nico knows it, right? Even Nico knows it. Amen, right? Right. Well, let's take a little moment and let's thank God for the love that he gives us and ask him to help us to always remember that. So let's pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for all of the gifts that you give us. We thank you for new life and babies who just make us smile. And we thank you that we each and every day can have opportunities to share your love with others. Help us to do that with everyone that we meet. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we all came together this morning, did anyone really stop and think along the lines of what Jennifer had in her children's moments about your vehicle? If my vehicle will start, if my vehicle will stop, if my vehicle will protect me if I'm in an accident, or did you get in with the assumption of, since my vehicle will start, since my vehicle will protect me? What about walking into this sanctuary? Did you pause at the doors? I hope you didn't, but did you pause and look up and say, if these great big beams will protect us and hold up the roof? Or do you walk in with that assumption and you trust it, since these will? We go through these things because we know that there's been a lot of tests done to prove that our car is designed to protect us in an accident, that these giant laminate beams have been tested, and that they will support not only the roof, but weight of snow and ice that's on top of it. We trust them. We don't really think twice about them. Now, if we're in the midst of an accident, if we know someone that's been in a situation where there was structural fatigue or something happened, we may question it a little more. So in our own lives, there are times that we question our faith because things have happened in our faith life. But more times than not, we are to truly trust God, to know that we are God's children. Because of that, God loves us, God protects us. And that even when everything seems to be unraveling and falling apart around us, God is with us and there is a purpose. Many of us trust too much in the things of this world, and we need to relearn to trust God. And part of that is how we live out our life. In verse 2 of today's reading, we read that Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, as Jennifer mentioned, there are different translations, different ways of translating the original Greek that this was written in. If or since makes a huge difference. Here, tempted or tested. It's the same Greek word. It can be translated either way, depending on the context. And when it's depending on the context, there it's up to the translator's decision. Now, we could spend all sorts of time debating all the semantics between tempting and testing. Is tempting enticing somebody to do something wrong, and testing is encouraging somebody to do something right? You know this is right, we're going to test you. You know all the information for this exam, you're going to be tested. And maybe in the midst of a test, a professor decides to add in a temptation, to lead you down a rabbit trail, especially with those story problems. Some people despise story problems because there's so many little temptations, extra information that really shouldn't matter, and it doesn't. That's, in a sense, the core of this message today, the core of this passage. Temptation is about accomplishing something beyond its intended purpose, leading us astray. And I think testing is accomplishing that intended purpose. Here's what the purpose is. Can you fulfill that purpose? Jesus was sent out into the wilderness, a barren place, a place more or less away from God, alone. But he was sent full of the Holy Spirit. He had been prepared for this, but he was tempted. He was tempted to see his purpose, his identity, as something different. Jesus did not give in. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we give in to some of these other temptations. I know in the years, you know, and I'd be twisting wrenches as a mechanic, or even just for fun. Now I can use a ratchet and a socket to loosen a bolt. That's fulfilling its intended purpose. Sometimes I'm also tempted to use it as a hammer, use it as a pry bar. And sometimes it works, but yeah, it might damage it as well. And then it may not work as well for its intended purpose. That's what we need to be asking ourselves. What is our purpose? What is our identity? We learn that through Jesus' example, as he was questioned, he was tempted about his purpose, his identity. In verses 3 and 9, we're told that the devil says, "Since you are God's son." Since you are God's son. And then he goes on and takes those qualities of being God's son and tries to get Jesus to use them for a different purpose. Jesus had to stop and think, what does it mean to be the Son of God? What is my purpose? What is my identity? The devil knew that Jesus, he was present. He was actively participating in the creation of everything. So in part, he knows that Jesus has the power to do anything. He can move mountains. He can change stones into bread. And he says, "Oh, you are hungry. You haven't eaten. You're starving. Jesus, since you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Why sit there and suffer? Nobody's going to know." Jesus knew his intention. He knew his purpose, his identity. It was not about physical nourishment. It was about spiritual nourishment. He knew that his purpose was about staying alive, but it was staying alive to provide a new and abundant life for all humanity by being the bread of life through his death on the cross. He knew he couldn't give in. The third temptation, today's passage, is similar. Basically, the devil's saying, "Jesus, you know, your dad's not going to let you get hurt. Scripture says you're going to be protected. Nothing's going to happen to you. Show everybody who you are." Jesus knew the purpose of his Father's protection wasn't something to be used carelessly. It wasn't about bragging rights. And Jesus wasn't going to take advantage of his identity as the Son of God for his own personal gain, because he knew that would work against his ultimate purpose. Now, that middle temptation in our passage today maybe is a little bit different. I think it's still kind of assumed, since you are the Son of God, but it doesn't say that. The devil tempts Jesus to worship him, the devil, rather than his Father, God. Jesus knew that all human beings, even the Son of God, were all commanded to worship God and God alone. And additionally, the focus isn't solely on the purpose of Jesus, but the premise of this is rooted in a lie about the devil's purpose. When we take a look at verse 6, it's often translated as saying, "All authority over every kingdom has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I can do with it what I want to." Technically, that is a correct translation, but the Common English Bible gives a hint, a nod to the whole of the narrative of Scripture, from creation to redemption. All the kingdoms have been entrusted to me. Entrusted. While they're given over to the devil, the kingdoms of this world, it's for a time. It's only temporary. Jesus doesn't get sucked into focusing on just the temporary worldly view of life. He knows there's a greater issue at hand. He doesn't even debate it with the devil. Remember the Ten Commandments? First commandment, you shall have no other gods beside me. The second commandment, don't make any idols. Don't worship other idols. Worship God and God alone. We don't have any idols, do we? We know that we're created to worship God. We're created in the image of God to worship God. To be created in the image of God isn't a physical, visual representation. It means we're a representation or reflection of God's qualities, God's attributes. God is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is how we word it, all interconnected, serving each other together in unity as one being. That's how we're created. That's part of what it means to worship. It means we're to bow down, to put the object of worship ahead of ourself in an act of service. That is a snippet into worship. Jesus knew what that intention was of him being the Son of God. He knew his identity, he knew his purpose, and he stuck to it. He didn't get distracted by these deceptions that were tempting. They were plausible. They made a little bit of sense, and they probably sounded good, especially in that moment. But he resisted. He was without sin. What is our purpose? What is our individual purpose in life? What's our combined purpose in life? What is your identity, my identity, our corporate identity? Those are questions we need to really wrestle with. We say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm Presbyterian, part of First Presbyterian, Fond du Lac. But what does that really mean? Sometimes we break it down even further. I'm an elder there. I'm a deacon there. I'm a member there. Oh, I'm a worshiper there. I'm an employee there. We have all these different connections and these ways that we grasp a hold of an identity. But yet, what does it really mean? And what portions of that are good and what portions of that maybe lead us astray from truly being children of God, being a household of ministry, representing Christ? Our individual purpose and identity needs to be based on Jesus Christ. We need to be more and more like Christ. We'll never achieve it perfectly, but we need to strive towards that. And our communal purpose, our communal identity needs to be fashioned around a Trinitarian understanding of our faith. That has been weak in the modern church's teaching. Our identity has been shifted off into so many other avenues. Is our identity as a small pastor-sized church? Is it a large mega church? Are we seeker church? Are we contemporary church, traditional church? Are we on and on? Where in the midst of that do we wrestle with the understanding of being Trinitarian in our identity? As individuals, we struggle with what our identity truly is. If we don't know what our God-given identity is, again, in our own lives, we're tempted to stray, to follow what sounds good and plausible. If your identity is primarily about your job, your financial status, the things that you have, your home, your car, latest technology, your strength, if your identity is based on membership in a particular group, your participation or allegiance to a particular sports team, anything else like this, if it's not about primarily being a child of God, then in a sense we've created an idol. And we're not worshiping God. We've broken the first two commandments. Now, hear me when I say this, that these are all good things to be associated with, to be a part of, to live out. But if those are primary, it's an idol. If those remain secondary, and they're a means in which we direct worship and our primary service to God, in a way that being secondary in our life, they give a testimony to others that we are children of God, first and foremost, then that is very useful, very helpful. But it's so easy for us to forget about being a child of God. The next time someone asks you, "Who are you?" or "What do you do?" maybe you're going to answer, "Well, I'm a bus driver, I'm an engineer, I'm a teacher." But hopefully you think about it as, "I'm a child of God." Maybe we can find a way to be able to start out with that, even if it's just by, you know, blaming the pastor and say, "Well, our pastor says, you know, I need to remind myself I'm first and foremost a child of God, but I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer." You're a child of God and a lawyer? Yes, that can happen. Be interesting what conversations came about from some of those comments and responses. Jesus knew his identity. He didn't get drawn into believing some other identity. What is your identity? What is our combined identity? That's our first building block, identity. It's our starting point for this year's Lenten journey. We need to get back to the basics, to refocus on our God-given identity as expressed throughout Scripture. We need to repent of the identities that we've been deceived into adopting and worshiping. We need to take those masks off. We need to focus on what it means to be created in the image of God, to be the image of God for a world that so desperately needs to know what it means to be a child of God. I pray that you're going to join me on this Lenten journey, joining on Wednesdays either here at noon on Zoom in person or Wednesday evenings over at Just Love Cafe inside Bob's Pizza at 6:30, as we learn to discern what it means to be God's people, living out God's kingdom here on earth, God's kingdom here in Fond du Lac, to be living out God's kingdom as Presbyterians, what it means to be living and worshiping 24/7, as God intends us, based on our identity, created in the image of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the same manner that the devil was entrusted with the kingdoms of this world, we are entrusted with so much. This time of the service is a time for the ushers to come forward to gather a portion of that which has been entrusted to us, to be used for God's purposes, to fulfill God's kingdom here on earth as in heaven. May we offer back a portion of what has been entrusted to us. May we offer our very hearts and lives to be used and transformed further God's kingdom.
Jesus.
Lord, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us, for the many blessings of our lives. Allow us, out of the blessings that you have given to us, may we pass on a portion of that blessing to bless others, to further your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated as we turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer. Reminder before we get into prayer, as we get to the Lord's Prayer, it is going to be the ecumenical version, so that's printed in bulletins. It'll also be on the screen. Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which you have taught us so much. We thank you for teaching us what it means to be the children of God, for what it means to live out your kingdom here on earth. Lord, remind us as we go through this journey of Lent, not only of our true identity, created in your image, remind us the many ways in which you have called us to live out your kingdom, to live out your kingdom in silent ways, to live out your kingdom boldly. Open the eyes of our hearts that we might be able to see you at work in the lives around us. Lord, remind us of the joys of new life, the joys of being able to have a structure around us to gather together freely, to worship, to be able to travel, to communicate. Remind us of the blessing of being able to share your good news openly. Lord, remind us also of the places around the world where your word is not allowed, and yet your people proclaim it with even more boldness. We lift up those areas of the world that are torn apart by war, those places around the world where illness and disease, where hunger and poverty are ravaging away at human life. Open our eyes to the places right in our midst in which human life is being changed into an object, into a possession, where people are abused and controlled. Open our eyes to the many ways in which we can gather together to be your church, to be a household of ministry for those who are hurting, for those who need your grace and your love. Open our eyes that we might see the ways in which we've also closed off these places of worship unintentionally. Lord, speak to us as we go through this journey of Lent. Help us to read Scripture, to hear your voice speak to us clearly. Jar us out of the ruts that we have gotten into, the routines that we've become accustomed to. Send your Spirit to break us free from the bounds of anxiety that the world puts on us. Lord, help us draw together to teach one another how to trust in you. And whether life goes the way that we want, and we feel that we are successful and blessed, or when life hands us those hardships and life just doesn't make sense, allow us to turn to you as our anchor, our rock, and refresh our identity. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending song, You Who Dwell in the Shelter of the Lord. Since you are a child of God, go out into the wilderness that we call the world, knowing that you are a child of God, that you are Christ's hands and feet to those that God places in your path. Go and live out your identity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
hitting home, the way they say.
Yeah.